morning, 12th Street. All right, I'm going to threaten everybody that's in the lobby. If they don't come in quickly, I'll start singing a solo. All right, well, it is good to see you here this morning. I am excited for this morning's service. It's been fun looking at the disciples as game changers. And this morning, we're looking at a couple different people. This morning, it's two of Jesus' friends, Mary and Martha, and looking at them as game changers. And so I'm excited about the message, and I hope that you'll be blessed by it as well. We have several announcements that we need to get through, so if you could take your bulletin and look at these with me. First one that's not in the bulletin, today is the last day to give towards the Straightway Education Project. The Straightway Education Project is, we're helping ladies in Uganda to have to learn how to, first of all, we supply them with monthly supplies so that they can learn how to make them and continue to take care of those things themselves. So it's a lifelong opportunity. And the Allen family, who does a lot of missions work in Uganda, they are leaving in July. And so today is the last day that we can collect the money and get it sent to the Allen family so that they can purchase everything and really get the program funded. So it's been exciting how much money has come in so far. If you would like to give toward that, there's two ways. You could mark your envelope and just say how much of that goes towards the Straightway Education Project, or you could give the money to Cheryl, and Cheryl will make sure that it gets to Cheryl Campbell. Cheryl, raise your hand, all right, in the back way over there. Or you can go to the church office, and she'll probably be there after the service. So make sure that you get your, if you're contributing to that, today's the last day to get that money in. Our VBS is 3 weeks away, okay? It will be here before we know it. We could use help with some more small group leaders, so especially males. So if you would like to be a small group leader, you say, what do I have to do? You have to take your group from station to station, have crowd control, and then if any of them want to receive Christ as their Savior, then either you can share the gospel with them, and if you're not comfortable doing that, then you just need to help find somebody that can talk to them about that. So if you would like to help out with that, Brooke is out at the Welcome Center. She's the one in charge of coordinating everybody. See her. We would love to have some more small group leaders. And then also, if you're planning on coming to Vacation Bible School and you're working and your family will be coming, it's if you need to eat, because VBS starts at 6 p.m. So some of you will get off work and you'll be heading straight here and it's hard to even stop at McDonald's. Don't do that. It'd be so much better for you to eat here. Okay, Michelle Roberts is cooking the food. She's charging $10 per person for the week. You can't eat anywhere for four meals for $10, okay? Or if you're a family, it's $30 per family for the week, okay? I can't feed my family for two meals for $30. So keep that in mind. And today, please get your money in if you would like to eat here at the church so Michelle can purchase everything that she needs for that. We have an outdoor baptism service on August 12th at 3 p.m., and it will take place at Ralph and Susie Balcomas' house. It's going to be a great service. So if you've never been baptized and you'd like to take part in that service, please talk to me so we can get that arranged. And then if you have been baptized, come and celebrate. We'll have a few guitars. We'll have some singing. We'll have some testimonies. We'll have the baptisms in the pool. And then we will eat. There will be grills going with food. Bring a dish to pass. And we'll just have a great time of fellowship. So August 12th, mark that in your calendar. At 3 p.m., we will have that special service. For the rest of the announcements, the teens are still heading to Life Changers in July. And they are still collecting the Souls for Souls. If you have any questions, you can talk to Lauren Roberts about that. Lauren, raise your hand. All right, Lauren right here, she's been in charge of that. And so make sure that you see her if you have any questions about what shoes. They need to be tennis shoes, but how you can be a help with that. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we meet here together, that you're such an awesome God, that you love each and every one of us individually. And as we're here, you care about every single one of us and what's going on in our lives. And so, Lord, we do take time to pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for those, Lord, who have experienced loss and have that the burdens and pains that go along with that. And Lord, we thank you and rejoice with those who have just seen good things happen in their life, and we're encouraged with them. And Lord, for those who have opportunities to do some service for you, I thank you, Lord, for those opportunities. And I pray that as Vacation Bible School gets closer, that the preparations that go into the teaching, all those that will be interacting with the children, that all those details will come together. And then, Lord, that you would just do your work and be the great God that you are. And we will give you praise for everything that you do. So this morning, Lord, as we look at work and worship, we ask that our hearts would be united together with your word, and that our hearts would be united together with each other. Because truly, Lord, our aim, our desire this morning is to see you lifted up, to know that you are a great God and that you accomplish great things through your people. So to you be the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with I Am Free.
I am free to run.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free to run.
Oh, I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
If you're free this morning, say amen. All right. Aren't you glad that you can say that? Aren't you glad that you can say, I am free? So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside me. God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside me. God Almighty, great I am. Of the name King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am, the great I am. Shake before you, the demons run and flee.
At the mention of the name King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. 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 Hallelujah. Holy, holy. God Almighty. The great I Am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty. The great I Am. The great I Am. The great I Am.
Our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you. Is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. Our God is jealous for his own. None could comprehend his love and his mercy. Our God is exalted on his throne, high above the heavens, forever he's worthy. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. Our God, a sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. On you, we will keep our eyes.
is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom.
You may be seated. When we have the ushers come forward, please.
Lord, just be with the pastor as he preaches the message. We thank you for the people that can give and the people that can't, Lord. And I pray that you'd use this service in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
But the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free. Then I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the of home start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder, their tears are gone and their hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills of home are calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison, bars of bone. Hold my soul, but the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit. Then I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. And I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as our children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Overcome with the beauty of the earth, seen from space, the astronaut removed his helmet. The view was breathtaking. I was trying to give a minute for that to set in, so that... This morning we're looking at two ladies who, they were game changers in their own way. And actually, from the interaction that these two ladies have with Jesus, we will get one of the great teachings from Jesus himself about what he valued when it came to people and their interaction with him. And it translates today to how we interact with our Lord. And the title of the message is Work and Worship. Work and Worship. And so in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." This is Jesus and his disciples. They travel into this village, and the village's name is Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her that she should come and help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Then you go to John chapter 11. Turn over to John chapter 11. It's the next time that we meet these two ladies in Scripture. In John chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." The context for that is that Jesus had just received word that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, that he was ill. And he was dying. And so the scriptures let us know that he loved this family. He loved these sisters, and he loved the brother Lazarus. Now go to verse 20 in John chapter 11. It says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said unto him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.'" He live. Verse 26. "And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said unto him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." When she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calls for you." And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her, that's Mary, in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goes to the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Jesus goes on a few verses later to bring Lazarus back to life. Let's go over to now to John chapter 12, one chapter over. John chapter 12, and verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover came to he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We see two very different ladies here. They're sisters, so they have a very similar upbringing. And as we look at these two ladies, we see that they respond to events of life differently. And as we saw with the 12 disciples, they all had different personalities, very different from each other. Yet God used all of those personalities put together to make up his group of disciples, the ones who took the gospel into the entire world. Now with these two ladies, we see their personality types shine through. So first of all, let's take a look at Martha. Martha, she received Jesus into the house. Martha had hospitality. Aren't you thankful for people that are good at hospitality? We all are, because they invite you over to eat, right? We enjoy people that are given to hospitality, and that's who Martha was. She was really good at bringing people over and making sure that all their needs were met when they were taken over, that their feet were washed, their food was on the table, the bed was nice and soft when they were ready to go to bed, that she was just really good at entertaining. Secondly, we see, though, that she was cumbered, is what the King James says. That means to drag around or be distracted. While she was serving, she was distracted. The weight, the burden of serving weighed heavily on her as she served. The third thing we see about her is she was serving and she was distracted by all the work that needed to be done. Serving is a good thing, but when you're cumbered with your serving, that's not a good thing. The fourth thing we see from Martha, she complained that Mary wasn't helping her. In fact, she did more than complain. So I'm going to need a couple young ladies to help me out here. Do I have a couple teens? Come on up here. Go ahead. Yep. And Leah, why don't you come on up here? She just loves it when I make her come up here. All right. We're going to give you the easy job. You're going to be Mary, okay? So as Mary, you just need to just sit down in that chair there. And you're going to be Martha, all right? So come on over here. So here's what happened. Jesus and his 12 disciples, because remember, Jesus didn't travel alone, right? He had 12 disciples with him. They're walking through Bethany. Martha sees Jesus and the 12 disciples, and she says, "You can come to my house." So Jesus and the 12 disciples all invade the house. So as Martha sees, she's got 12 people coming in. She makes sure that the table is set, that everyone has something to eat, that they all have a place to sit. And she looks over, and while she's busy, be busy. All right, busy Martha. Her sister Mary is just sitting there at Jesus' feet. And so Martha, she is disturbed by this. She is upset by this. And so Jesus is sitting there, and he's teaching, and he's talking. So Martha comes over to Jesus, and Martha says, "Hey, Jesus. Tell my sister to get to work."
Tell my sister to get to work.
Now, most of us would go, "Yeah, Mary, what are you doing? Get up and help your sister." But not Jesus. Jesus looks at Martha, and he says that you are anxious and troubled about too many things. You just had 13, Jesus and the 12. 13 minimum amount of people, there are probably more, that just invaded the house. She hadn't prepped for it. And Jesus looks at her and says, you're too distracted by too many things. And instead of telling Mary to get to work, he looks at Martha and says, Martha, you're distracted, you're wrong. Mary has chosen a good thing, something that cannot be taken away from her. If we're telling this story today, we're all celebrating Martha, right? Because we're all saying, get to work! And that's not what Jesus taught here. So now a little bit later, you can go stand by Mary there. Jesus walks into town, or he's on his way to town. Lazarus was really sick, and Lazarus dies. Martha will make sure that Jesus knows her brother is dead, and he is 4 days late. So Martha meets Jesus. Come on, Martha. Martha walks right up to him and says, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. Can you imagine walking up to Jesus, first of all? She's pretty bold, right? And she says, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus looks at her and says, whoa. He'll rise again. And she's like, oh, you're going to be smart with me. You're going to start talking to me about the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. I know I'll see him in heaven again someday. That's no comfort to me right now. And Jesus is like, "Woo! I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he will live. He that believes in me, he will live. Your brother's going to be okay." So then she storms off. She goes back home. Now, she's really upset because Mary is still sitting. Common thread with Mary here, right? What does Mary do? She just sits. Martha says, Mary, Jesus is asking for you. When I read that, did you read anywhere there where it said that Jesus asked for Mary to come? No, because here's what happens to the person like Martha. The person like Martha, when they're so busy and they're so upset because not everybody's doing what they're doing, they start to say things that aren't real. She wanted Jesus to say, where's Mary? She should have come running to me too. That's what she wanted Jesus to say. And I believe in her mind, Martha thought that he said it. He didn't say that. He said, I'm the resurrection. So she storms off and tells Mary. So then Mary comes to Jesus. When Mary gets up and moves, people are like, whoa, Martha moving? No big deal. Mary moving? She must be going to the grave to weep. But instead, she meets Jesus in the same spot. You know what that means? Jesus, after he talked to Martha, her hurrying him did not give him any incentive to hurry. Next time you try to hurry God, remember this. He works at his own pace. And he will not move faster simply because you yelled at him. So Mary comes to Jesus. But she doesn't come to Jesus the same way. Remember, Martha came and she just started in. Mary bowed down at his feet. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Do you see the difference between the way that Martha did it and the way that Mary did it? Mary knelt down at his feet. She hates this. I'm going to make her sit there for a few more minutes just to soak it in. And then Jesus, he doesn't even really say much. He has her get up, go home. He looks and he sees all these people crying. Because in those days when somebody died, there were people that their full-time job was to be a professional mourner. The qualification, you had to be really good at crying. And so they're there, and they're like, ah! Jesus is like, oh my goodness. And he looks at Martha and he looks at Mary and he thinks, why are they all crying so bad? And then John 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept because he saw the anguish that his people were going through, that they were missing his presence. So then Jesus goes into town. He says, where is he buried? He says, roll the stone away. And they're like, whoa, whoa, don't do that. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. And Jesus is like, move the stone. Lazarus, come here. And Lazarus walks out. Now we got one more time that Jesus meets with them. He's back in Bethany again, 6 days now before his crucifixion. We're within a week of his dying on the cross. And he goes to eat with Lazarus. I mean, there's a ton of people there because Lazarus came back to life. And they weren't there to talk to Jesus. They were there to talk to Lazarus. And you know what the Bible records Lazarus saying? Zero, zilch, nada. Because what Lazarus says is of no importance. What Jesus said is what is important. So then it says, Jesus was at the table, and Martha, what did Martha do? Served. The house was full of people again, so what does Martha do? Oh my goodness, we got so many people here. And so she's just, go ahead, Martha. She's moving around. And what is Mary doing? Here's what Mary does. She was sitting there, but she did something this time. She went and she got a pound of spikenard. Okay, I've read different things. Probably about 9 months' salary for the average working person would be the value of what she took. Maybe this is what she's been saving up for a wedding. Maybe this is something that she's been saving up for to help her transition into the next phase of life if she ever moves out from with her brother and her sister. And she breaks it and pours it on Jesus' feet. And then she takes her hair, I won't make you do this, and she wipes his feet with her hair. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you for helping me out. So let's go to point number 5 about Martha. Martha was anxious and upset about many things. If your service for God makes you anxious and upset, you're not serving God. You're serving yourself. You say, well, I would never do this if I wasn't serving God. No, no, no. You may have started out serving God, but in the middle of all that service, when you got distracted and you started to get anxious and upset, you quit serving God. At some point, your service turned towards self. And then the fifth thing about Martha, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus visited their house and Martha served. If she would have sat still at Jesus' feet, then it would have been like, wow, she learned the lesson. But that is not who Martha was. A crowd came over to the house. She served. And I just think it's interesting that God points that out to us. Let's look at Mary real quick. Mary. When Jesus went over, she sat at Jesus' feet. Number 2, she listened. She heard the things that he was saying. Number 3, she chose the good part. What does that mean, she chose the good part? It means that in comparison between worship and work, she chose the thing that was better or the thing really that was the best. In that moment, it was better to sit at Jesus' feet than it was to serve the crowd. Number four, the good part could not be taken away. When you feed somebody, what happens 8 hours later? Oh, some of you, 4 hours later. Hungry again. You have to eat again, right? When you clean a dish, what do you have to do to that dish in a very short amount of time later? Rewash that dish. Here's the truth. There's always work to be done. When there's a moment to listen to Jesus, that can never be taken away from you. To be still, to hear what God says, and to soak it in. Those moments can never be taken away from you. The fifth thing is that when Jesus visited after Lazarus' resurrection, she anointed Jesus with very costly perfumes. She had learned that sitting at Jesus' feet is something that can never be taken away from you. Now we're 6 days before Jesus was arrested and beaten and crucified. And what does she do? She starts to anoint his body, not knowing even in herself that she's preparing his body for burial. That could never be taken away from her. And the sixth thing is that she wiped his feet with her hair. My hair's never been long enough to wipe anybody's feet with it. But I can't think of any more humble act of service. Remember, they didn't wear shoes back then. They wore sandals. And as she wipes his feet with her hair, she is completely trashing her hair. Forget about being greasy. And then she's going to stand up and all these people are going to be looking at her, and now she's got this spikenard, this ointment, this perfume in her hair, and the dirt. And you know what? She doesn't care what anybody thinks, because she's been at the feet of her Savior. This could never be taken away from her. The time that we spend at Jesus' feet is the best time that we will ever spend in our lives. Here's the problem. We get so busy and so distracted, so anxious, so burdened, that we don't take time to just sit at the feet of Jesus. Work is an important part of life. Okay, don't take from my message this morning, "Pastor said I don't have to work." Woo! Okay, 99% of what gets done around here at the church is volunteer work being done. And if that work wasn't done, then this place would be a mess. What makes 12th Street so great is the amount of people who work. Okay? So don't interpret and say, "Pastor said we shouldn't work for the Lord." That's not what I'm saying. Because that's not what the scripture's saying. When you get distracted by your work and you don't worship, you've got a problem. When you start to complain about other people because they aren't working like you are, you're the problem, not them. When you look around and say, "Well, I just wish people would," you know what? Right there, you've lost it. Martha's problem was not that she worked. Her problem was that it became a heavy load for her to carry. When you work for the Lord, he does not want you to be burdened by it. He doesn't want you to be distracted by it, and he doesn't want you to criticize others when you're doing it. Because when that's your work is wrong. You can't let your work take away from your worship. Because if your work takes away from your worship, you've chosen the wrong thing. Let me give you a little scenario here. It's something that I'll share with you, in my weakness, okay? Here's what happens with us. A service ends. And let's say we have a business meeting. So what do? Transition to the next thing, right? Maybe there's somebody sitting there and they've got their head forward and they're praying and still talking to God. Or there's someone that God's been speaking to their heart and they're not moving because they're just resting and reflecting on what God has showed them. But what are we doing? Go get your kids. Get your children from the children's church. Get your babies from the nursery. We got to move on to the next thing. And what do? We just run right over the moments of silence and quiet. There's work to do. Let's get it done. I'll never forget, it was at the end of a service, and there was a man who was, he was just sitting in his row, and he had his head down on the pew, and he was praying, and he was crying and weeping, and you could see it. And a whole bunch of people saw that there were things that needed to be cleaned up, and they just started cleaning up around him. And it got so busy that the guy just wiped himself up and walked away, and I thought, man, what did we just steal from him? Because we're so busy, we got to get the work done, that we don't take the time to worship. Here's something that's even worse than that. We worship on Sunday, and then we spend 6 days working so much, we don't worship again until the next Sunday. See, Sunday's not the only day of worship. It's the easiest day, hopefully, for you to worship. But it's only one of seven where we should be worshiping. And I don't think it pleases our God when we take 6 days where we work, 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 work. Okay, God, we'll give you an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. And if that pastor goes over an hour and 15 minutes, I've got work to do. And we lose our worship. Martha served. But Mary, she chose the better part. Two things that I put in your bulletin to close the service out. What did it take? What did Mary do while Martha served? She sat. Stillness is needed. We don't spend very much time in stillness because even when we're still, we have a phone out, right? Okay, on my phone, I got a new phone in, I can't remember what month, but right before the turn of the year, I got a new phone. So I told Rachel, I'm not going to put any games on my phone because I don't want it to distract me when I should be still. So I have no games on my phone. It's really a bummer when there's nothing to do. So you know what I do instead? I got a Bible app on my phone. And I just open up the Bible app and I just read. That time can never be taken away from me. Can never be stolen. Because that's time spent in worship. Stillness is needed. Second, sacrifice. She took the most valuable possession she had, she broke it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped her hair with his feet, and she gave a sacrifice to him. When you sacrifice, submission is necessary. See, what Mary was doing when she was sitting at Jesus' feet and she wasn't working, she was just worshiping. While she was doing that, she was submitting. When she came to Jesus when her brother died, she didn't come to him and start yelling at him. What did she do first? She knelt before his feet. Because Mary knew how to worship. And even when she went to the Lord with the heaviest burden that she had ever carried, she was able to first kneel before him and submit to him. And for us today, we still need that sacrifice to take place where we submit ourselves as we worship. When I was a senior in college, I was working 35 hours a week. I had 16 credit hours of school. I played college football. And then on Sundays, I went to a church in Port Washington, Wisconsin, where I taught Sunday school, led all the singing, those poor, poor people. And then I preached the morning service and an evening service. And on Wednesdays, I went to another church in Utica, Wisconsin, and I ran the youth group. Okay? I had no time to do anything except schoolwork, work, and basically preach. The summer before that, when I was traveling around all around the country holding revival services, and I heard another pastor preached. I preached in the Sunday school hour. He preached in the regular church hour. And his name was Lou Rossi Jr. I'll never forget him. Lou Rossi was in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And he preached, and he preached right from this passage about Mary and Martha. And God had just, it was like a mule kicked me in the gut. Anybody been kicked by a mule? It doesn't feel good, okay? Doesn't feel good. It was like a mule kicked me in the gut because it was like, wow, I am working so much for God, I'm not spending any time in worship. So then my senior year, Rachel and I were driving in the car on the way to minister at the church in Port Washington. We had a busy day in front of us. We're picking out the music that we're going to sing as we're driving. And I said, you know, Rachel, I haven't really worshiped God at all. I've been reading my Bible for work's sake so I could prepare a message. I've been studying so that I could preach, not just so that I could listen. Remember that morning as we were, because we always prayed together as we rode in the car, we prayed. And then I said, could you just read some scripture so I could just worship for a little while and not worry about all the work in front of me? And in that moment, riding in the car, as she's reading from the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, God takes care of the sparrow. Won't he take care of you? He clothes the flowers. They're more beautifully clothed than Solomon in all his glory. The richest king ever to live was ever clothed. Won't he take care of you? And all of a sudden, I was just worshiping. I got to church that Sunday. I don't remember what I preached that Sunday, but I remember what we read in the car. Because when we take that time in stillness, where we sacrifice in submission, that can never be taken away from us. So I want to encourage you this morning, spend more time in worship with your God. Don't stop working. Just don't get distracted while you work. And if it comes to a point where you have to choose between work and worship, if you can't do both, I hate this because we need volunteers, but it's the truth. Choose worship. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you give to us what you expect. And I thank you that as Jesus dealt with the issues that were going on with Mary and Martha, that he left for us a very clear and succinct guide. God, help us to worship. Help our hearts to be knit with yours. Help us to spend time in stillness, submitting ourselves to you, not asking you to do something for us, but just hearing from you about who you are. So, Lord, I just pray that as we close out this service, that we would have some opportunities to reflect, to be still, and to worship you. And if anyone here has never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, you told us that you are the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in you, they have eternal life. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never put their faith and trust in you, the death that you died for them on the cross, the way that you did not stay dead, you rose again after the third day, and you provided for each one of us an opportunity to have eternal life in heaven with you if we would just trust you in what you have done. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in you, the first part of worship would be for them to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So Lord, I pray if anyone here has never trusted you, that this morning they would do so. And so as we sing, help our hearts to fall into union with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I invite you, come and tell me that you want to. I would love to talk to you about it or have someone else talk to you about it. And you know, if you've been work, and you haven't worshiped, then this morning I encourage you, spend some time in worship. When I get done praying and say amen and we leave after the song, you don't have to. You can come and kneel at the front. You can sit right there where you're at. But let's choose the better thing this morning.
Stripped away, had I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. You deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, when it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.
Lord, we don't want to make it about anything else. else, because if we do, then we will lose the good part. And so, Lord, we just, this morning, we humbly bow before you. We desire for you to speak to us as you want. We want to hear you. And Lord, I pray that in all the commotion that's in this world, that your voice would always ring the truest, that it would always be the one that we focus on. So now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne, be glory and dominion and power forever and ever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him this week.